lower your expectations, and put on your comfy pants. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's time for the Mediocrities Podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast. I am your host, Mediocrities. This is episode 6, and I'm very excited about something new because something new is Alone, the television program that I love to watch. Season 8 of Alone. This thing has been going for 8 years now, and if you've never watched it before, go get cable so that you can get the History Channel and watch Alone. 10 people, all different backgrounds. Some are ex-military, some are survivalists, some are experts in making bushcraft. You need to check this out. They're allowed to bring 10 items with them that could be as simple as a tarp or a fishing line or a bow, and then limited clothing items. And they're not bringing in food. And they are placed in these remote locations where they have to live on their own with their own camera equipment that they have to, you know, film themselves doing stuff, but they have to survive. And the one who survives the longest alone wins $500,000. This year, they're going to be in British Columbia in some area that is supposedly the universe's largest concentration of grizzly bears. So that's going to be a very difficult, but probably very exciting thing to watch. So I enjoy the show. I think it kind of helps you, almost like this show. You know, if you've got kind of a weird kind of voyeuristic kind of thing where you just want to see what makes somebody tick, you listen to my show. That's really why I'm here. But you could watch Alone also and get to watch 10 people and see what makes them tick when they're all by themselves and thinking and ruminating over things. How do they survive? How do they handle stress? So Alone, it's what's new, and I'm very excited to start watching it. If you watch it, by the way, if you watch this, let me know. Leave me a message. You can contact me at mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. I would love to hear from you, especially if you're watching this show. I want to hear what you think. If you've watched any of the previous episodes, you know, who's your favorite person? Just so many cool characters. But I'd love to hear what you think about this, this season, season 8 in British Columbia. Let's hear from a sponsor. Now, it is time to journey inside the mind of Mediocrities. It's not always pretty, but it is always real. So join me now, will you? Inside the mind of Mediocrities. So the mind of Mediocrities, you know, like I said, it's not always pretty, but it's always real. And I'm looking now at what does it take to be an influencer? What does it mean to be an influencer these days? And I'm not trying to be an influencer myself, but I do wonder, you know, I'm on Twitter and I don't have many followers myself. I'm kind of new getting back into Twitter. But I'm watching, I follow a lot of people, some people I agree with, some people I don't agree with, but I'm learning because you need to hear other people's opinions and other people's thoughts on matters. It kind of sparks thoughts in your own mind. It makes you wonder about stuff. And so I'm enjoying this. And plus I'm getting to know some people, and or at least I'm getting to know the public persona of people, the things that they say publicly. And that's a lot of fun for me. And if you're looking for someone to follow, you're welcome to follow Mediocrities. I would love to get to know you. You could also, message me through that, I guess. But influencers and what it takes for someone to think that your opinion holds weight more so than someone else, more so than Mediocrities. So you look and see who are the people that are the most influential. And often it's celebrities, right? You get a lot of celebrities. But one of the people that we just celebrated in the Christian church is a guy named Justin Martyr. And Martyr was not his last name. Martyr refers to the way that we remember him, which was for his martyrdom because of his Christianity. But he was probably one of the best known Christian saints of the second century AD. Well, I guess Christian second in AD, right? But anyway, so Justin was well known for his life and his witness to Christianity, and that's what that word martyr means. Martyrion means witness, just like a witness giving testimony in a legal case. But we remember that word martyr usually because of the earliest years of Christianity and the great persecution that they had, and most of those persons were executed. And so this also happened to Justin. In fact, Justin was, like many Christians before him and after him, was put to death and tortured prior to that for the charge of atheism, because he refused to offer incense to the Roman gods. So he doesn't believe in the Roman gods. Obviously, he is an atheist. And so he was put to death. But before his death, in about AD 165, he did a lot of good things, and he is well known for two works called the Apologies. So the first apology and then the second apology. An apology means a defense. It's not, he's not apologizing for something, but he's giving a defense of the faith. And he's also well known for a dialogue with a follower of Judaism named Trypho. So if you look at the dialogue with Trypho, T-R-Y-P-H-O, the dialogue with Trypho, this is Justin Martyr and his discussion with Trypho. And it's very interesting when I'm looking at Justin's life. Now, Justin was born about 100 AD, and he was born in Syria. And so he would have been born 4 years after the death of St. John, the last of the original 12 apostles. And so when John died, 4 years had passed, and then Justin was born in Syria. He was not born into a Christian family. He was born into a pagan family, and all indications are that he followed regular pagan rituals like everybody else. But then about 30 years later, we'll date this about AD 130, he has this conversion experience. And one of the best glimpses that we see of his conversion to Christianity is in this dialogue with Trypho. So let me rewind just a little bit in the story, because I want to set the stage for you. And you should read this, because like I said, philosophy is the key to theology. I really believe that your understanding of sacred scripture and concepts of our beliefs as Christians, or if you're not a Christian, you want to understand, philosophy really makes a lot of sense for helping you to understand your own belief system and how you can help engage other people around you, which is a great skill to have today in a time where people would rather just tell you to shut up or call you, you know, Mr. Poopy Pants and not talk to you anymore. You know, don't call people poopy pants. Just take the time to understand some philosophy, to learn some listening skills, and to be able to think through these things. So what happens in this dialogue with Trypho is that Justin has a reputation as a Christian, and Trypho has his group of followers, and they kind of run into one another. And he's asking Justin these questions, and Justin's kind of engaging him in some stuff. And all the while, his friends keep interrupting, and they're saying rude things. In argumentation terms, we would say that their attacks are ad hominem. They're calling him an idiot. They're saying he's not learned, whatever. They're not paying attention. And this guy, Trypho, he's trying to understand. Even if they don't agree, he wants to come to a common understanding, which I think is the heart of what real dialogue really is. So this is going on. And finally, Justin says, hey, look, if you and I want to have this conversation, tell your friends, if they want to listen, that's great, but they're going to need to be quiet, or they can leave. It's not a problem, but maybe we could go over here where we could sit down and be comfortable, and let's just talk it out. And that's what they do. And so in this, in the beginning of this dialogue, Justin explains how he came to believe in Christianity from his pagan background. And this is where I'm very excited, because I start to learn more about how his philosophical background helped him to become receptive to dialogue and ultimately accept Christianity. Now, that doesn't mean that all philosophers are eventually going to be Christians. That's just, I would love for that to happen, speaking as a Christian, but that's not necessarily how things work. But what it can lead to is that good philosophers are understanding of how to sit down and talk to somebody and listen. At least good philosophers are. There are plenty of people that claim to be philosophers that are a little less than conversational. Let's just say that. Okay. But when we look here at Justin, I think one of the examples that we can see is something that we can reflect on our own lives. As we mature and we grow, we are constantly finding things that we no longer need. Maybe they've been things that we used to believe or used to practice, but we realize that they have their own limits, you know, like our childlike understanding of things, that we grow to understand that the world, it's more complex. The world works differently than we thought when we were five. And so we get rid of some things, but then there are other things that we have from our past that become stronger because they've been tested, they've been tried and found to be true and helpful. And so we hang on to those things. And then there are things for which we yearn, things that are beyond where we are, things that we want, things that we aspire to understand. And so we reach for those things. And I see this in just this glimpse that I'm getting of Justin Martyr. So he, by his own explanation, he starts off by looking in the Stoic religion. Well, it's not really religion, it's philosophy. Looking in Stoic philosophy. And the Stoics were known for their ethics. They were known for being people of high ideals. So not necessarily religious. One of the reasons why I think the Stoicism appeals to so many people is because it follows a lot of the same practices that Christianity follows, especially the pursuit of virtue, but it does so in a without naming an allegiance to God. Can I say that? I think that's a fair assessment. It was certainly true in the case of what Justin encountered. So what he was encountering, it led him to a certain point, but then when he asked his masters to help him to understand more of how this leads us to God, they said, we don't have a need for God. But he felt a need for God in his own mind and in his own soul. And so he said, I had to leave. He reached the limitations of where this system could take him, and he moved forward. And so it says, he says that he later attached himself to the Peripatetics. Now, the Peripatetics are basically Aristotelians. These are followers of the teachings of Aristotle. But the guy that he found must not have been a very good teacher or had something else in mind, because the very first thing that he wanted from Justin was money. He said, well, you got to pay up front. And that should be a red flag, because guess what? Knowledge doesn't cost. Knowledge is free. Knowledge should be freely expressed. Now, I don't mean that all education should be free. Wow, that would be great. But teachers can't live on free, you know, right? And I'm not saying that this teacher, if it was a good teacher, should not be compensated somehow for taking on students and educating them. But, you know, when the very first thing you ask for is a donation, he kind of raises some flags. And so that's what happened with Justin. So he was disgusted by that and he moved on. And then he attached himself and he wanted to follow the Pythagoreans. Now, if you study Pythagoras, you know, Pythagoras is all about the arts. Everything's math for Pythagoras. So, you know, you remember the Pythagorean theorem, right? We're talking about triangles. Well, when we look at Pythagorean philosophy, then everything is about harmony and numbers. So the first thing that this Pythagorean philosopher is asking of Justin is, well, what is your understanding of music? What is your understanding of mathematics, of geometry? And he had all of these prerequisites, and Justin says, I don't meet your qualifications. And so the Pythagorean says, well, we have no use for you. Then they refuse to take him as a student. So in that, in my mind, that is, oh, wow. You want to talk about a closed door policy. How more unwelcoming can you be? And what, by the way, this is a sidebar. I'm not going to charge you for this, but what a pain in the butt would that be for someone who wants to know more about your beliefs and you're upset because they're not wearing the right clothes, or you're upset because they're not speaking your language. They want to know what you believe. They don't know your stupid vocabulary yet. Do you feel the frustration? I feel this way sometimes when I'm trying to learn myself. You know, going to a wine and liquor store, for example. You want to get a nice bottle of wine because you're going as a guest to a party. And I can tell you right now, I know nothing about wine. I really don't. But if you want to bring a nice bottle of wine, then you've got to ask somebody. And most of the time when I have tried to do this, I really feel like an idiot because I don't know anything about wines. I said, look, dude, if I already knew about wine, I would have already gone and gotten something, but I don't. Don't make me feel dumb because I'm asking you a question. So that, as a teacher, that really bothers me. And so I felt so bad for Justin because he didn't have the right prerequisites they were denying him. And so I'm sure that it'd leave a very good taste in his mouth. But then he attached himself to the Platonists. These obviously will be the followers of Plato. And it's in this group that he found the most help. And it's very, 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 very interesting. When we study the development of philosophy, people keep coming back to Plato and Aristotle and trying to make these two schools, which is interesting, you know, Plato taught Aristotle, but these two schools where they have some different understandings of what is real, what is the ultimate goal, what is the ultimate essence and purpose. They have some differences in how this is approached, right? And so it's very interesting to then read someone like Thomas Aquinas, like Augustine, who can take these ideas and synthesize them, can find what is good in both and try to find something that is harmonious, you know? And so when we read the writings of Justin Martyr, when you read his apology, you can tell this is very much Socratic dialogue, questions and answers. You can see it in his dialogue with Trypho. It's all about asking questions and getting the other person to talk, and then understanding where they're coming from. And then you present your ideas in the form of questions to help them to think through your thought process. You're not just lecturing. You know, when you're listening to my show here, you're listening into my brain and you're hearing the things that are going on inside the mind of Mediocrates. And that's cool, but it's going to be a lot more fun the more this community builds and we start talking to one another and understanding our minds and how they relate to one another. I don't expect that everybody that listens to this show agrees with me, but I think you might get a kick out of hearing what's inside one guy's head. I'm not an expert on anything. I'm not the influencer. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. But what I can tell you is that the stuff that I struggle with, you probably struggle with. The stuff you are thinking, I probably think sometimes too. And to be able to have that kind of common bond and to share lives with one another, that's the reason why I'm doing this show, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it and getting to know people and realizing that when I am at my loneliest, and that happens from time to time, I know that I'm not the only one that's struggling. I know that I'm not the only one who deals with emptiness sometimes, and not the only one who sits and thinks about how do we know what we know? Why am I here as opposed to not being here? You know, why are there things as opposed to not being things? And, you know, just basic questions, really. But the more I'm around, the more I start to think, hey, maybe this is why. And of course, a very good frame of reference for me and what would become true for Justin as well is Christianity. I find a lot of real comfort and truth in that, not in a let's pretend that everything's okay, but in understanding concepts of purpose, concepts of order, concepts of being able to, here's an example. Because I believe that God is immutable, that he does not change, I can have confidence in scientific method. I can have confidence in physics. I can have confidence in geometry and things that the observable sciences that we have, and even the speculative ones that we have when we look at physics, you know, they all kind of have their limitations based on what they're studying and what question they were trying to answer. But they're all generally, the math basically works, right? The math basically works. And so it is so because the sun is, tomorrow is not going to be a hot dog. It's going to be the sun. We know orbits. We know these things. And that's based on the fact that not that the universe are constant. I think there are changes going on, but God is immutable. And because I have that bedrock belief, then it means I can study other things. I'm not concerned, you know, if tomorrow the sun were a hot dog and topsy's turvy and everything else, it doesn't matter, then faith doesn't matter worth anything. But because God is real, but because there's a purpose, and because this world and these things are in motion, then I have a reason to get up in the morning. I have a reason to live. There's a purpose, and searching and finding that purpose, that vocation, that calling gets me through tough times because I realize this is just a stage. This is just a passing thing. And ultimately, I believe that my home is not here. I believe that my home is with God, is where God is. That's where I want to be. We call that heaven, but to be one with God, to be in union with him, that's the goal. And that's what Justin discovered, and watching another human being discover that in his way is encouraging to me, especially in a time where, and from his background, he wasn't raised in this environment. This was something that he chose. And so I'm in awe of Justin Martyr. In fact, I credit Justin Martyr with being one of the first persons to ever kind of lead me toward discovery of Christianity and ancient Christianity, what it looked like. And that's ultimately what led me to become a Roman Catholic and to believe. And in the midst of all kinds of not so great things happening in the Catholic Church, to embrace that faith. And so absolutely, it's really cool. So if you haven't read The Dialogue with Trypho, or if you haven't read any of Justin Martyr, please do yourself a favor and read this. You can find it online for free. So we close out with something old. And I was talking with my daughter. Actually, I was going to talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme. We're going to do that another night, I promise. But I was talking to my daughter, and I don't even know how we got on the topic, but we started talking about lunchboxes, and I totally miss my old metal lunchbox. And I was trying to think back, and I started Googling this, trying to look back, what lunchboxes did I have? And if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, I bet you had one. And mine were all metal, but I think my brother might have had some. They started making some in plastic. But this was a metal lunchbox with usually like a TV show on it, right? Or some kind of toy on it. And then inside, there was also a thermos that, you know, that's where you put your soup or your drink. And I can remember having my lunchboxes. And I've come to the conclusion that I believe that I had the Fall Guy, the A-Team, and Dukes of Hazzard. And I had, because that was like my back to school treat, was getting a new lunchbox. And, you know, what are we getting now? So, you know, my friends had Pac-Man. We had, somebody had a Gremlins one. I remember a Gremlins one. What else was there? My brother had a Snoopy one. He loved Snoopy. What else was there? Pac-Man. Well, I mean, think about it. I've seen a Welcome Back Kotter lunchbox. Now that was a little bit before my school time, but I did watch the show with Dad. But yeah, so lunchboxes, I miss those. That was so much fun, especially when the brand new school year and you show up and you're like, oh, what lunchbox he got? Oh, dude, you got Alf. That was a lunchbox too. So, you know, having these lunchboxes is this cornucopia of these metal lunchboxes, and then wondering, you know, if I had a sandwich inside my lunchbox, then I knew that I probably don't have soup in the thermos. So did Mom put some Tang in there? Do y'all know what Tang is? Like it was like a dehydrated kind of orange drink, powdery drink. And you mix with water and it tastes like oranges, but not like oranges. But yeah, we bought Tang for some reason at the house. So did my thermos have Tang in it? Did Mom put some Kool-Aid in there? Or was it just water? Was it sweet tea? So, that was always going to be fun because I never knew what Mom was putting in my lunchbox. It was always going to be, kind of a gamble. And then there would be days where I didn't take my lunchbox, or I took my lunchbox, but I didn't take lunch in it because I was going to get school lunch, but I brought candy that I bought at the corner market to sell. Or I brought Garbage Pail Kids. I sold baseball cards and Garbage Pail Kids in school and candy and made a mint. And so that lunchbox came in real handy. But I miss those old metal lunchboxes. They were so fun. So, hey, what lunchbox did you have growing up? Or are you thinking, what in the heck are you talking about? Love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Twitter. You can also reach me at mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. Or if you are using the Anchor app, you can actually leave me a voicemail message. So love to have your feedback. Love to hear how we're doing with the audio. Are we getting a little bit better with the audio quality? I'm trying something slightly different than I did even in episode 5. So I'm hoping that the audio is pretty crisp for you. And I know I'm still kind of working on the ums and the buts and stuff, but I'm getting better. I think I'm trying to be more mindful of it, and script is helping actually. So, yeah, let me know what you think and send that feedback my way. If you want to be a guest on the show, or if you want to have your show feature me, then yeah, I'll do it. Cost you nothing. This software is costing me nothing. I'll do the show for nothing. It'll be fun. So, yeah, if that's your game, then let me know. I'm down for it. And otherwise, I will catch you on episode 7, and we will talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme. I promise. Bye.